This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. I'm Frank Rossi, the Turf Extension Specialist here at Cornell University, and this is brought to you in partnership between Cornell University and our friends at the New York State Turfgrass Association, found on the web at www.nysta.org. And this is the podcast for the week of September 21st, 2015. It's volume 16, issue 24. A welcome relief to recent and prolonged dry periods came this past week, and now many are actively working on recovering from summer stress. Soil moisture should have been replenished, and now with cooler weather and lower solar radiation, the turf system should have some moisture reserve that might allow for a more progressive approach to recovery. At the same time, the moisture is helping with turf recovery. It is also helping with weed invasion, highlighting obvious chinch bug or grub damage, and of course, late season dollar spot on golf course turf and high maintenance lawn areas with high populations of creeping bentgrass and annual bluegrass. Late season dollar spot is among the most difficult dollar spot problems to address, as it seems to arrive very quickly, some say overnight. Also, as compared to much of the dollar spot systems and signs we observe during the symptoms and signs we observe during the season, this strain of dollar spot coalesces aggressively and results in severe pitting of the turf when outbreaks occur. Our modeling research from 2003 through 2006 revealed that the conditions conducive to these later season dollar spot outbreaks have increased in the last decade as a result of the changing climate. Oddly enough, what we learned from exploring the prediction is that dollar spot typically requires a dry period prior to a heavy dew for significant outbreaks to occur. Additionally, there is some evidence that this population of dollar spot is more resistant to thiophanate methyl, not the best product for dollar spot anyway, but still widely used. So keep on your usual dollar spot programs and consider some extra nitrogen to aid in any recovery from an outbreak that might have been missed. And some notes about the weather for the week, the past week. The fourth consecutive above normal week brought temps 4 to 6 degrees above normal to the north and slightly less along the coast. Heat stress was confined to the southern end of the I-95 corridor. This latest surge of warm weather has brought degree days way ahead of last year and almost 2 weeks ahead of normal. Soils are cooling now, oddly enough, into the 60s at the 2-inch depth. Adequate rainfall has finally been received by most of the region, when many are recording amounts greater than 2 inches. Long Island had pockets of 4 inches. Western New York, 2 to 3 inches. The only quote-unquote loser was the immediate Ithaca area with less than a half an inch. ET, a consistent 3/4 inch region-wide. Moisture deficits have been only slightly alleviated, with many areas double digits behind normal. And a forecast for the coming week. A dry, moderate temp. Late summer week is expected for most after some final warming. Expect temps to warm into mid-70s only and upper 40s and 60s for the evening lows. This is shaping up to be an El Nino fall, leading to an unusually wet winter. Long-term, calling for cooler but dry weather. Our regional clips begin again with Victoria Wallace from the University of Connecticut. A welcome relief to persistent dry conditions came this week, and many areas have responded with a green tinge. Randy Prostack, University of Massachusetts, moving into ideal timing for perennial and winter annual post-emergence control. Before you treat, be sure you have adequate moisture. Jerry Giordano reports chinch bug samples still coming in. Grubs are prodigious on some turf with one Westchester lawn supporting 25 grubs per square foot. And a comment from Dr. Tamsin Yeh from CCE Suffolk County. High populations of grubs on golf courses in Suffolk County, along with ABW adults, cool season brown patch, kylinga, and an as-yet identified nutsedge. Some questions from the field. I thought I was quote-unquote out of the woods for anthracnose this year. Are there reports, and what should I be thinking? Anthracnose is easily neglected at this time of year, but conditions are often very conducive for it. Annual bluegrass and bentgrass get hungry for nitrogen in the fall as temperatures dive into the perfect range for growth and recuperation from summer stresses. To coincide with this need, anthracnose is a low-end disease occurring and causing considerably more damage when the plant is underfertilized. Superintendents may also press the issue of raising green speeds a bit more in the fall as temperatures subside. Going back to groove rollers and lowering mowing heights before important fall alternates may also set the stage for this disease. If you are managing annual bluegrass or bentgrass varieties susceptible to anthracnose infection, Pencross, Penlinx, Providence, Seaside 2, Brighton, be on the lookout for this disease now. As mentioned, a little extra nitrogen will help reduce anthracnose severity. At this time of year, a tank mix combination of DMIs plus chlorothalonil application should be a good curative treatment. Do not rely on iprodione or thiophanate methyl alone for anthracnose control. Could I still be getting summer patch? Can you recommend a recovery strategy? Typical summer patch symptoms include a gradual thinning or decline, most often mottled, but sometimes a ring or frog eye pattern. This is another case where the disease steadily increased throughout the season and accumulated enough root decline equity to cause symptoms. Since the disease is difficult to control curatively, a strong combination fungicide such as Lexicon, which is Paraclostrobin and Fluxaparoxad, or Briskway, Azoxystrobin plus Diphenoconazole, may be the best recourse for recovery. A small addition of ammonium sulfate, about 0.2 pounds of N per thousand, can also aid in disease suppression and encourage recovery. Remember, disease is soil-borne, so the fungicide and nitrogen should be watered in immediately with about an eighth of an inch of irrigation. Additionally, research at UConn in the last few years has highlighted the benefit of relieving compaction to aid with better rooting that will minimize summer patch, as well as applications of manganese sulfate that help overcome the limitation that root pathogens seem to create with manganese. And a note about safe sports fields with no pesticides. The Child Safe Playing Field Act, passed in 2011, significantly restricted the routine use of pesticides on K-12 playing fields in New York State. However, many feel this rule did not go far enough to actually ensure the fields are safe for play, simply assuming that if pesticides were not used, they were safer. Most sports turf managers recognize that field safety is more than simply pesticide use, but rather the ability to sustain turf density and cover for adequate traction and maximum cushioning when the athletes encounter the playing surface. The Cornell Turf Grass Program has developed an important resource for turf managers, coaches, players, and administrators that explains safe fields, and you can access it at safesportsfields.cals.cornell.edu. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, brought to you in partnership between the Cornell University Turfgrass Science Program and the New York State Turfgrass Association. I'm Frank Rossi. I'm the Turf Extension Specialist here at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.